We're at all-time highs, right? So guess what there is none of?
No structure, y'all.
So now we're forced to do something else. This is why it's important to understand different tools, right? I can't underestimate the importance of being a well-rounded trader, even if you flock to a specific style, right? I was telling our, I'm writing training for our track and field athletes, and I was doing an interview with coaches actually for track and field, and they were asking, what is the best thing we'd like to see at the college level? As far as having, you know, what do we want high school coaches to do a better job of so that athletes are prepared at the college level? And my answer was, we just want to see better athletes. You don't have to be a better runner or a better jumper, just in general, a better athlete, a person that can do athletic things. Because if you have that bigger tool set, it's easier to adjust to the specifics later. And trading's the same way. If you are an overall trader, so if all Kevin knows is advanced pattern formations, he's good at one thing in the market, but he's limited in what he can do. And this was me when I first started trading. I traded advanced patterns only. He's limited in what he can do in the market, because when the market is moving directionally, guess what Kevin can't do? Can't really do much else. However, if Kevin is flexible in his approach, if he is a student of price action, he can then go about adding different tools to his trade. He can be a pattern trader, obviously, because that takes learning price action, but maybe he can implement a trend continuation strategy, something to take advantage of the directional markets. Maybe he can implement another structure-based strategy. So maybe patterns aren't forming, but he can now trade support and resistance levels, right? He has the ability, because he understands price action, and obviously he knows how to go about creating a strategy and testing it. He has the ability to really create flexibility within his trading plan. And the same thing goes for situations like this, right? If you are only a structure-based trader, I love structure, don't get me wrong, but if you're only a structure-based trader, there's no way you can predict targets on this because there's no structure. But if you're a well-rounded student, now you can refer to the rest of your tools. You're saying, okay, Akil, I can't use structure, but what else can I use to make these predictions? That's definitely a benefit to be more than just a one-trick pony in the market, even if you are using one trick, to be knowledgeable about the other stuff. Akil, what made you extend your portfolio beyond advanced patterns when you were starting? Well, I always wanted to naturally evolve. I had traded a lot more before that, but I overwhelmed myself because I was trying to do too much at once, and I didn't really master any one thing, right? I was good at a few things, and I was kind of everywhere in the market. So when I did my last restart, right? Whenever I say when I first started trading, this is like probably like 3 years after I first started trading, or 2 years after I first started trading. But when I did my last restart, I decided to focus on one thing, right? My trading mentor always told me, start simple, right? Trade one strategy on one pair on one time frame. Because if you can't do that, if you can't do one thing good, how are you going to do 10 things good? So when I finally decided to wisen up and do things the right way, I said, okay, I'm going to focus on one thing. I'm going to focus on one time frame. I didn't do one pair. I did multiple pairs because I was a swing trader and one pair would be pointless. But it was very, very simple. So I just traded Gartley's. I had like a 20 pair portfolio of trading Gartley's, or somewhere close to that, maybe 16. And then once I was comfortable with Gartley's, I would spend money, or spend money. I would spend time making money trading Gartley's. And I was a swing trader, so like I'd get maybe like 4 opportunities a month at all. So I had all this free time to do nothing with. And I started learning the next advanced pattern formation. I started learning BATS. And I was spending my free time while, you know, because trading advanced patterns is simple. You set a limit order and some stops and that's it. there's not much else to it. Every once in a while you roll a stop down, but there's really not any analysis from day to day aside from like, did we get there yet? So I'd spend that free time back testing BAT patterns, and eventually I added BAT patterns to my arsenal. So now I had two ways to take advantage of the market. And the thing that really prompted me, I was a price action trader before, so I was knowledgeable about trading price action and trading continuation and counter trend, all that stuff. I just kind of, again, had to reset myself. The thing that got me is I was doing really good with advanced pattern formations, but I would September would destroy me every year. Because September was historically, and I haven't noticed this lately, but back when I was trading then, September was historically a very directional month, right? The summer was slow. The September would come, all the big players would come back to the market. They look at the market and be like, hey, things aren't where they should be. And they start pushing it in a certain direction. And it wasn't really good for pattern trading. Again, I haven't noticed this lately, but this is how it was for like a good 3-year period. So I got tired of just like eating losses in September. So I was like, well, I need to figure out a way to be able to take advantage of September's as well. And that's when I started implementing more strategies that dealt with directional movement as well. So I slowly evolved. I always had plans of doing it. My mind was never like, hey, let's just do one thing and stop there. I always wanted to get back to price action stuff because that's what I loved in the first place. But I had to start with patterns because I was very undisciplined, and I needed something that would keep me disciplined. I was very undisciplined as a trader, and patterns was the most black and white thing that I can trade that gave me less opportunity to think. It was just kind of follow and do. But yeah, you slowly add the pieces together. And that goes for the same thing for you guys looking to get more aggressive. When I first started trading price action and like CTS, like I needed structure, I needed a double top, I needed RSI overbought, I needed divergence, I needed like 18 different things to take a trade. And now I can take a higher high, higher close. So the same thing with becoming more aggressive. You slowly evolve. You slowly evolve and build. And I knew the skills. Now it was just using them in a way that provided me with an edge. So what time were you swing trading on? 4 hour? 4 hour chart? Yep. I come in, I look at charts for like 2 minutes and I'll be like, yep. Yep, nope, yep, nope, nope, done. Now, what am I going to do for the next 12 hours of my day? David says, did you backtest all 20 pairs? What do you think, David? I'll let you answer that question. There you go. Yep, of course I did. Of course I did. I did enough dumb stuff in my career. Of course I backtested all 20. Yep, 100 trades, sometimes more, a few of them less. Yep. Yeah, I did. And most of the time I backtested more than once because I would backtest and I'd have a thought and I'd be like, I wonder if I would do this, how would that affect it? And I would start all the way over again and backtest it again. So I would say that I backtested each pair, at least the majority of them, probably about at least 2 times, probably 3 times a piece for the Gartley pattern. By the time I started backtesting bats, I wisened up some. But the Gartley was really my first time like backtesting something aside from CTS. So whenever I had an idea like, I wonder how the 50% would do in comparison to 382. Start all over and I would only test that. Only afterwards did I wisen up and be like, what if I just tested all of the questions I had at the same time and then compared later? So that was a stupid moment, but as you can imagine, right, it helped my RAS tremendously because instead of just 100 trades per pair, it was probably more like 300 trades per pair times 20 pairs. So I had nothing better to do, guys. I was, I didn't have a job. So I was just chart dude for all day. So why not? But it helped in hindsight, it helped my RAS massively. Because I was constantly just going over the same patterns that I identified before over and over and over and over again because I kept having smart ideas halfway through. So took up a lot of time, but again, it's on the 4-hour chart. When you're testing one thing at a time, I can probably blow through a pair. I think it took me like 2 days or so, 2-3 days, I can do a pair. And again, it wasn't like 12 hours straight. I had to take breaks. The fingers started cramping up and hurting. So I learned to take breaks and whatnot. But I think it took me, usually I can do a pair like in 3 days. I would knock off like two or three a week. So it wasn't that bad. Two or three a week, I think a month to get through a whole kind of deal. So it wasn't that bad. So would you test all the potential filters with at the same time as baseline? Yeah, I mean, I don't even think you need to run a separate baseline. If you're looking at patterns and you already have an idea of what you want to test them all at the same time. Just go through it one time and just take a lot of data. A baseline test is more so for if you haven't really had an idea of what you want to test first. Then you have that baseline, then you're comparing your ideas later. But yeah, I would just do it all at the same time. That's why you really want to think about what you want to backtest before you backtest. Don't just hop right into backtesting, guys. Before you backtest, you should think about like what do I want to test, right? And that's when you can ask the community, spend time in the markets and take notes, right? It's not a process, in my opinion, that you want to do multiple times. It kind of sucks. Some people like it, weirdos, but for the most of us, it sucks. So I think you need to be prepared to backtest. Now, obviously, there's still going to be stuff that comes up. When you spend time in the market, you're going to notice things, and then you can do alternate tests later for that. There still may be questions, of course. That just happens, but at least you can knock most of them out the way. And usually most of the questions are going to come in three different ways. Like what type of stop should I test? What type of target should I test? What type of entry should I test? Most of your questions are going to come in those three levels. So focus on those. Whew. 2017, your first YouTube video. Oh my gosh. How bad was that? I should delete all those things. All I could hear was bats and Gartleys. I said, wow. He must be a trading professor, so I subscribed. I was a complete newbie then doing research on trading. I was a complete newbie then to doing research on trading. Yeah, that's all I traded back then. I believe 2017. No, I had to try. I traded more in 2017. I didn't. No, 2017. That's not my first video. No. That's not my first video. My first video was, or 2017, you watched it. My first video had to be. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe I was coaching before I started YouTube. Maybe you're right. I started coaching in 2012, right? Yeah, I started coaching in 2012. Maybe I didn't get on YouTube until 2017. I was trading more than that, more than bats and stuff at that point. Let me see. Let's see what YouTube says. Maybe I've deleted all the embarrassing ones. Videos, all 8,000,000 of them, sort by date. Let's see, when was that first one released? Yep, 7 years ago. Oh my gosh. June 30th, 2012. Yeah, so I started coaching December 2011. And I guess halfway through, I had the confidence to start doing some YouTube videos. Oh, don't watch them. Bad. Oh, gosh. God, yeah, the first video I watched in 2017, yeah. So by then I was trading a lot more. 2012, I'm pretty sure I was just trading bats and Gartleys, yeah, harmonic stuff. James says, do you take advanced pattern trades if a trend market, in a trend market and in a counter, and it's counter-trended move? Yep. I'll put it simple. I take every advanced pattern trade that meets my rules. Simple as that. No ifs, ands, or buts. I like this throwback. Must feel amazing to look back at the journey after being successful. Yeah, it's easy to look back. That's what I like to tell people. If I look at my struggle period, right? If I look at the 2 years in which I really struggled, it seemed like forever. Forever, like you'll never get out of it. But I look back now and it's like, man, like from like 2010, that's when I started calling myself successful. 2010 it's been 10 years. So it's like 10 years of success massively outweighs 2 years of struggle. And the struggle period, it feels like a little blip. Like, I don't even remember. I'm sure I remember the pain, but I don't remember the pain in the same way. It feels like a little pinch. Like, oh, I got a little pinch and then it was good. Where at the time, it probably felt like a gushing. I'm sure it did feel like a gushing wound. Because I was at a point where I thought I'd never be successful. I thought I'd be successful going in. I was very confident, perhaps too confident. And then I got to a point where I thought I was going to fail. Like, I remember I started writing, rewriting, and refreshing my resume. And I was getting ready to mail them out. Because I was like, hey, my nest egg is running out. In 6 months, I'm back in the market, the job market. I hate to say I'd given up because I'm an athlete. I'm a competitor. Like, I don't like doing that. But, like, aside from me telling myself what I needed to hear, I'm pretty sure I'd given up. Now, I wouldn't say it. It's kind of like, you know, you sports guys out there, like when you're in a game and you're losing and you know you're going to lose, but you still think you're going to win. It was one of those situations where it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to make this comeback. But in reality, you're like, man, dude, we don't have a chance. That's how I felt at the time. Gushing wound that couldn't be stopped. And then I did something stupid and just followed what my mentor told me to do. And what do you know? Wish I would have done that 2 years earlier, right? But yeah, it seems like nothing now that it's been 10 years. And it's gonna be cooler when, you know, 30 years from now, when I look back and I've been like, hey, I've been consistently profitable for 40 straight years. Well, how long did you struggle? Two? It's nothing. That's why it's weird when people aren't willing to sacrifice this time. People think, like, I got to get good in, like, a day. Like, even if it takes you 2 years to get good. Gabby was a great example because Gabby took 2 years before even, like, trading. And it seems forever at the time. Like, what do you mean it might take me a year? We always tell people, and Mike Bellafiore says this as well, probably about 18 months. I always say 1 to 2 years before you kind of hit your stride trading. You know, get to that awkward period where you're still kind of doing dumb stuff or missing trades. But usually about 18 months in, you kind of get it and you start to feel your groove and get really comfortable with yourself. And it's funny, you tell people that. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, just dedicate 18 months, right? Maybe like a year to learning and testing and then another half a year to kind of like doing dumb stuff. Because most of us just do dumb stuff. dedicate 18 months to that and then like you'll be okay. Like 18 months? What? I'm like, well, how old are you? Like, I'm like 25. Dude, you can do this for another like 50 years. You could be good for 15 years. Just dedicate 18 months now. Or even people that are like, I'll talk to some really younger people that are like, you know, 16 and they're interested. And it's like, well, I can't legally open an account yet. I'm like, don't even worry about it. Like, you're 16 right now. Like, it's probably a blessing you can't legally open an account. Like, just train for 2 years. Like, just practice for 2 years. And then by the time you can legally open an account, practice, save your money, do all the budgeting stuff we talk about in the podcast, right? Practice, save your money. And then when you're ready, right, you'll be 18 years old. I think all of us would kill to start at 18, right? Unless there's any 18-year-olds in here. But I think I don't even know about trading at 18 years old. I feel bad. And I don't want to make you guys feel bad. I feel bad at waiting till 21. I felt college was, I don't want to say it was a waste of time, but from an academic perspective, it wasn't worth the money. I met my wife in college. I played sports in college. I made a lot of friends in college. So I think all of that, I learned a lot of social interaction skills that are necessary in college. I knew how to speak correctly. I learned stuff in college. But like, man, if I would have spent those 4 years in college learning about the markets, man, I would have had such a head start. I wish I even regret like 20 and 21 is young. But I even regret like, man, if I would have knew this at 18, I could have been 4 years ahead of myself right now. But yeah, it's, you know, take the time now. When you earn success, it's going to be worth it. And if it takes a little bit more time up front to earn it, it's worth it, man. Just you rather, it's the same thing. I was talking to a friend, we'll end on this, about the Corona thing. And I don't know where I stand on it because I'm not an expert, but I would say this, right? There's this big beef right now of everyone. Like, there's riots and stuff to reopen many of the economies, right? And it was funny. I think there was a riot the other day, and like 70 people from the riot were tested positive. I don't know if that's true. The internet lies about everything, so I believe nothing the internet tells me. But the fact is, there's a group that's like, hey, like, we want to open up because we're losing money, our jobs have been cut, and I understand that. But at the same time, again, like, I think we need to be smart about it, because if and again, I don't know any facts about anything, but if we were to open up too early and we just get hit worse with it, then we got to spend more time in lockdown. So I'd rather just take my medicine now and heal up, right? From an injury perspective, I dealt with the same thing in college. I had a lot of hamstring injuries and I would always rush back because I didn't want to miss any games. And guess what would happen when I came back? I would tweak my hamstring again, and then I'd be out another 6 weeks. And before you know it, I'm out half the year. And then finally, my senior year, I wisened up, right? I had a hamstring injury. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take my time. I'm going to do it the right way. I came back the right way and never had one again. So invest a little bit more up front and benefit from it at the end instead of kind of going back and forth. So.